KLYT Broadcast Studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Levi Lesko joins us. He is the founding pastor of Fresh Life Church in Kalispell, Montana, including campuses in Montana, Idaho, Oregon, Utah. Levi, working on the moon? I mean, what's next?
That's hilarious, Steve. No, I don't think there's enough life up there to justify a campus, but maybe online broadcast could reach the space station.
Well, so glad you could join us. You know, I know you've written several books, Through the Eyes of a Lion, Swipe Right, I Declare, The Last Supper on the Moon.
That one we did send to space. Have I told you that story, Steve?
I don't know if I did hear this.
You know, the day I finished The Last Supper on the Moon, which really that book was my COVID passion project. Like everyone took up a hobby in COVID. You know, some people learned how to refinish their floors. I wrote a 600-page book about the moon. And the day I finished it, I happened to have a friend who's an astronaut. He called me, he said, "Hey, I just got rostered for a mission to the space station. Can I take something and fly it for you?" So astronauts get to bring things for friends. They could bring a flag from their alma mater or whatever, and they fly it around in the space station and they let it float in zero gravity. And then they take a picture or video of it. Then they bring it back home and you get a certificate from NASA saying how many revolutions of the Earth it did, blah, blah, blah. So he asked me, "Would you like to fly something? Could I fly something for you?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I just finished a book about the moon." And so what I did was I put the manuscript on a thumb drive and I got to go to Florida and watch him launch in the SpaceX rocket. He got into Tesla, drove out. Elon Musk was there, crazy, and watched the rocket launch and my book was on it. And then it flew around and I got to actually FaceTime him from the space station. And he actually did watch Fresh Life Online. So that's that joke about the moon's not too far off. And then when he came home, he gave me the thumb drive back and I have a certificate telling me how many thousands of revolutions, because it goes around the Earth 16 times a day and it was up there for 6 months.
Wow. Well, that's I can't top that. We both do have friends at SpaceX, though. A friend that went to Calvary Knob Hill when that campus existed is at Mission Control with SpaceX.
Well, that's, you don't need to top it. That's super cool. That's amazing.
Yeah. But fun to watch, and since we're recording this after two astronauts were rescued, thank you, SpaceX.
Elon Musk came through again, man. He doesn't miss.
And then the other book I didn't mention, Roar Like a Lion, and the new book, Blessed Are the Spiraling. So as people see this cover, define what you mean on the cover there by spiraling.
Well, the cover is and thank you for having me on today, it is a picture of a tornado, which is symbolic of destruction. We all know the fear, especially in the Midwest, of a tornado. My daughter goes to school in Alabama and they had a tornado warning where they were told, "Hey, you have to go into the bathroom. And if it gets worse, put the mattress up against the door." And, you know, we all know, we've seen the images, Oklahoma, Missouri, tornadoes wreak havoc. But this tornado is built out of wildflowers. So even though it looks deadly, it's actually, you know, it's not deadly. And the play on words is, of course, from the Beatitudes, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who mourn." Traditionally, those are terrible things. You feel like they're going to ruin your life when you're mourning or when you're poor or when you're, right, you know, broken. But the blessing, Jesus says, is the wildflowers. It's the, "I know this feels like you're falling, you're just being destroyed, but there's actually God's plan and grace in it."
Well, you know, and we're well taught by pastors like you and my pastor, Skip Heitzig, to be reminded that blessed is happy. So it seems like a contrary, you really have found some interesting things that we can talk about. You know, one of the things that stood out to me in the press kit that I received from the folks helping to promote the book was, you know, in spite of the fact that you and I have been acquainted for decades, I don't think of you as old enough to have had a midlife crisis, Levi, but you're very transparent in the book. And one of the things that stood out to me in this was the comment, "Surprised you with delight." Do you want to dig into that?
Yes. Well, you know, worldwide average life expectancy is 72. And that means that if someone listening to this is 18, you are 25% of the way to 72. 36 is halfway. My dad went home to be with Jesus at 72. Actually, a lot of people do. We're in America, we tend to get a little longer than that, but worldwide, 36 is midlife. And at 38, out of nowhere, I started to have a lot of what we would say is spiraling, just kind of the existential crisis, season of life stuff, especially for me. You know, I had become a pastor so young. I started teaching in my teenage years, was leading a church in my 20s, wrote books all throughout my 30s. And so without knowing it, a lot of my identity had gotten wrapped up in being the young pastor. And not that I'm old, but I'm definitely past the general midlife arc point. And so I think part of it was just a natural shifting season of realizing, okay, I'm not old per se, but I'm also not young. I'm in a midlife moment. And traditionally the trope is you get a divorce, affair, buy a Corvette, you know, people tend to make mistakes and blow up their lives or their calling, or in some other way, make a mess in the midst of these transition points. And I understand that because it's confusing and you feel like you don't know what to do. You feel like you're spiraling. And so you can make mistakes, but it also can be a great time to recalibrate, to reprioritize, to get grounded, to hear from God. And so my season of spiraling, which was a period that lasted a year and a half or so, was a chance for me to really go deeper in my walk with God. And like a football team goes into the halftime and gets in the locker room and comes back out and takes the field with a new strategy, almost a new season of life requires a new strategy. And so that's kind of the experience I wrote the book out of.
Now, did these somewhat spiral, you might say, together, the where you mentioned your season that challenged your faith, was that were those kind of connected? And in that, maybe tell us what brought you through that time, if any different than what you just shared, and how your understanding of faith and identity has shifted in the midst of the spiraling process.
Yeah, such a good question. You know, it wasn't a challenging time for my faith. I never lost or wavered my faith in God. It was more just, who am I if what makes me me is taken away from me? So okay. For example, it wasn't a bad thing. And I think it's important for us to remember, idols aren't just bad things. Like, oh, he has an idol of a drug problem, or he's an idol of, you know, illicit pornography. Well, you can also turn a good thing into an idol, meaning a good thing that's a gift from God or a calling from God. Even ministry can become an idol, where it's a good thing, but it's become and taken a place, and it's in your life that only God should take. And I think we don't always recognize these things until they get tampered with. So for example, I get asked to come and speak at conferences, and that's a good thing. When I go, I talk about Jesus, and I, you know, share messages of hope, and that's amazing. But I can't do that forever. You know, there's going to come a day when life is going to take that away from me. You know, I'm in a wheelchair, maybe, you know, dementia, or God forbid, whatever it comes, that's going away. So it's a mistake to build my identity on, well, I'm a speaker, I'm an author, I'm a, you know, this is who I am. Who I am as a child of God, who I am as a king of kings. So that's my identity. But if I allow anything, how many, you know, if I'm a real estate agent, how many houses I can sell, or if I'm a, you know, podcaster and how many downloads I get on my podcast, if I start to let those things creep into how I see myself, then I'm building my life on sand instead of on, you know, the solid rock, like Jesus said. So my midlife crisis moment was more just, I think, a natural point for me to stop and go, wait a minute, this all happened so quickly, life and calling and ministry, how much of this identity, Levi, was built on just love of Jesus, and how much of it has gotten over the years inflated into who you are based on what you do. And a performance mentality is so lethal because it leads to a religious spirit. And so my reflection was kind of a God pruning away some of that. There took a season where I did a little more biblical based counseling. I had a lot of mentors and friends speaking in my life. I had to say no to some things because for a season I was traveling so much. I went to Africa twice for the weekend, and that's a long way to go just for a one speaking engagement and back. And I just had to kind of pull it back and hone in back on the main thing. And And so it was a really important time of reflection and also recalibration.
Well, in your new book, Blessed Are the Spiraling, you introduce the reader to container model. I'll give you a chance to explain that.
Yes. So the seasons of life, which, Steve, it's coming for us all, right? We're young, we grow older, we eventually hit our prime, past prime, and then eventually there's the foreboding unknown of you know, old age, and then eventually death. And as much as we all like to live in denial about that, it's the only certain thing about life is that it's going to come to an end. The Bible says, you know, we give us a heart of wisdom, help us to remember our end, that our days are numbered. And the fear of it comes from unknown, uncertain. But the truth is, the Bible says that the glory of a young man is his strength, and the glory of an old man is his wisdom, his gray hair. So our culture says Botox the skin when it gets wrinkly, dye the hair when it gets gray. The Bible says, hey, God's glory is on old age, just like it is on when you're in your prime, and you still have value. You're not discarded. You're not garbage. God has a plan for your golden years. So the container model that I give in the book is a way to look at your life in three seasons. It comes from a theologian who said the three seasons of life are, number one, you build a container. Number two, you decide what goes in the container. And number three, you have to prepare to give your container and everything in your container away. And if you look at your life laid over that, the building of a container would be, you know, you're going to college, you're building your career, you're starting a company or a nonprofit, or you're starting out in whatever sector God calls you into, and you build that to the glory of God, build a big container. You know, we need Christians who will be the next Henry Ford and the next, you know, whatever, the next Steve Ryman going into radio industry and doing for the glory of God, a great job of building a container. But the mistake comes from when season two is you need to decide what goes in the container. And there's plenty of people who have had a very successful career, have a very big container, have houses all over the place, but they're empty when it comes to connection with God, connection with their wife. There's plenty of wealthy people who are jet setting around the country, but their kids don't respect or love them because they've not been present, shown up at their games, been there. So it's a mistake to just keep focusing on building a bigger container when your life's empty. And then third and finally is the last chapter of life, when you have to decide how you're going to give your life and its contents away for the glory of God and make sure your life is prioritized around legacy. And it's an astounding figure, but over 70% of Americans don't have an up-to-date will. That is to say that it's going to be the probate court and not your prayerful consideration that's going to lead to the disbursement of all of your assets and minor children, if you have any, who will be their guardians. And so I think even just the simple act of sitting down and creating a last will and testament and saying, hey, how can my death be used for the glory of God and to reach hungry people and get the word out through, you know, ministries like K-Light and Connection Communications with Skip Heitzik and things like that you could say, hey, I want to prioritize legacy in my estate planning. It's going to help you just to make better decisions through every season of life.
Yeah, I love that you bring up in that at the end the will and for multiple reasons. I mean, one, we should, but as an illustration as well, because when we don't, it's those that we leave behind that feel the pain of not having a prepared legacy. I think it's, you know, applicable not only directly to a will, but like you mentioned, you know, those eternal investments that we really should be focused on instead of the, you know, things of the world.
Yeah. And even just as simple as think about the minimization of clutter. The average statistic is when someone dies, an adult dies who's lived a life, not even a hoarder, just a normal person. Yeah. On average, their loved ones will have to spend 300 hours dealing with all of the odds and ends and bits and pieces and, you know, oh, got to do this, got to shut this down, got to figure out this, take this to Goodwill. And if you can do just a little bit of minimal, you know, subtraction of minimizing, of dealing with pre-planning your funeral, dealing with some of the, hey, what's in the garage? Let's go through those boxes. Let's get the estate in order. You can literally give your loved ones time back that they can better use to grieve you and honor God and move on and move forward. And that can be such a great gift. And the Bible just talks about living simply and minimizing that clutter, right?
Yeah. Although we're, you know, spending time focusing on your new project, Blessed Are the Spiraling, a great book recommendation on that topic, Clutter's Last Stand. If you've never found that, worth the read to help you work through some of that. But
it's funny you bring that up, because I got a whole chapter in the book about Custer, and it's literally all about Last Stand. So we're on the right theme here.
Well, listen, as I mentioned, you know, you're quite transparent in the book. Great opportunity to reach out to others and tell them, you know, well, what would you tell Levi, others that are trying hard to keep up appearances?
Well, I mean, my encouragement would be to peel behind that, right? There's always something behind everything that we do. So if we're numbing with a substance or with spending or with social media or, you know, entertainment, there's something inside that's not at rest. So I know for me, when I go to my triggers or coping mechanisms of, you know, I'm going to go self-medicate with some social media or Netflix or empty calories or whatever, it's because something's not at peace inside of me. And those things are telemetry telling me, hey, there's something inside of me that's crying out. And usually it's not just the thing you're dealing with. It's the thing under the thing. And so, you know, we're coming up on the 1 year anniversary of my dad going to be with Jesus. And just a week ago, I was flying into Albuquerque actually for my mom's birthday. And I was real snippy and short in the conversation with Jenny, and she was like my wife, and she's like, hey, what's the deal? And I was like, hey, to be honest, it's not you. I'm not frustrated with you. I apologize for that. Please forgive me. I'm nervous about landing back in Albuquerque, going to dad's grave, you know, being back there with all the loving memories, but also the hard memories. And so what was happening was I was dealing with one thing, but it was manifesting in something else. And a lot of times in life, if someone's trying to keep up appearances, it's because they are dealing with insecurities deep down. I think we all feel like we're not worthy of love. We're afraid. We kind of have that imposter mentality. If people knew who I was, they wouldn't like me. And I think it all stems from a performance mentality that forgets that our basis for our who we are should come from the love of God expressed through Jesus Christ and not from anything we do. Because we can't be more loved than we are right now, and we can't ever be less loved. So I would say to the person like me who struggles with that, wanting to people please or project perfection, hey, just relax. You're not auditioning for anything. You already have the part.
Yeah, and is that essentially what you would apply towards any advice you give someone on the topic of avoiding burnout?
Yeah, you know, burnout's a funny thing, because I think it's not a bad thing to have feelings of burnout. It just is. It's like when you see a light on in your dashboard of your car telling you need to service the engine. So when you're starting to feel those things, it's just your body's way of telling you something. I think when we ignore the burnout, or when we try and numb or ease the burnout or shove the burnout down, that's when we're in a problem. But the feeling of anxiety is a good thing. Like if I feel anxious standing on a curb, it's probably because my body's saying, hey, don't step out on the road. You're going to hit by a car. Or if I'm hiking and feel anxiousness, it's my body saying, hey, there might be a grizzly bear around the turn. It's when our nervous system goes awry and our fight, flight, fright, or freeze goes into hyperdrive. And what should elicit a 2 on our radar gets a 10. That's our body's way of saying, hey, you're doing too much, or you don't have the right margin. You don't have the right fuel. You don't have the right friendship, or you just need your Sabbath days, those sorts of things. So to the person who's experiencing burnout, I would say, well, good, you're doing something. You know, there's another side of this picture where people are not burning out because they're just, you know, dirt bagging around the country in a camping van and, you know, just not working, or, you know what I mean? Like they think that burnout has gotten a bad rap. The Bible says when you feel exhausted, now wait on God, let him give you new strength.
Love that. So as we kind of wind this down, there's so much to really unpack in this latest book, Blessed Are the Spiraling. We're visiting with author Levi Lusko. Levi, I want to throw this back to you. What would be the biggest takeaway? You really don't want our listeners or the readers of Blessed Are the Spiraling to not miss.
The biggest thing is just the reminder, when you spiral, you're blessed. You don't feel blessed. Okay. So the 18-year-old is like, oh my gosh, I'm out of high school. I don't know what to do. College is so scary. Where am I going to do with my life? The 40-year-old is like, oh my gosh, I'm at the midpoint. The empty nester whose kids have all moved out. And now they're like, oh my gosh, so these are transition points in life. And you feel like you're in a free fall and you feel like, I don't know what to do now. I don't know. I don't have worth without this, whatever. And the Bible says in God's upside down kingdom, you really are blessed. You're blessed to feel the way you are. Why? Because now you can lean on God. He can lean in with his new strength. He's near to the brokenhearted. And so you're fortunate, highly favored, even though you're scared. And I would say, don't feel bad for feeling bad. It's okay. You have permission to have a low moment. Now trust in God, and it's a new season, and new seasons are scary. So mourn the outgoing one. It's okay to mourn a season you love that's no longer here. And now let God prepare you for what's next. And he's going to give you a new assignment. He's going to give you new mercy, and he's already gone before you. So you really are blessed. You don't just have to spiral down. You can spiral up one step at a time. That's why they call them spiral staircases.
Well, you'll find blessed are the spiraling wherever you purchase your favorite books. Levi, on another note, so many of the New Mexico listeners very familiar with you and your ministry. As you continue to pastor at Fresh Life Church in Kalispell and those other campuses we mentioned, and our listeners can get information at freshlife.church. How can our listeners be praying for what you see the land as the landscape and where you see the ministry headed? I know God, he's a God of specificity. So I wanted to populate that prayer list for our listeners.
Oh, you're so kind, Steve. Well, you know, I love the familia in New Mexico, and I will always be a son of Albuquerque and of the house. I would appreciate prayers and any involvement anybody wants to be a part of. We do an annual youth conference that kind of came out of this chaotic season for me of spiraling. And I got new purpose, like Elijah coming out of the cave when God said, okay, now go anoint this person, go do this. It gives us purpose to get out of our funk. And part of that was for us launching a national youth conference called Movement Conference, and it's MVMNT25.com. And we have youth groups and family groups come from all over the country. We just had a group sign up from Pennsylvania to come to Montana to experience God. I got saved at summer camp. And so in seeing young people excited about their calling, it's kind of like God saying to me, don't just mourn that you're not a young pastor, go out and try and reach the next young pastor and young leader and young Christian entrepreneur. And so we're seeing that happen at Movement Conference, and we bring in great bands and speakers, and it's all outdoors, which is kind of unique because there's lots of camps and conferences, but not very many that all take place outside. And so, yeah, prayers for that. And then anybody listening who's got a teenager, you know, get out to Movement Conference.
Okay. Now, would that be at freshlife.church, or is there a specific website for the conference?
That's MVMNT25.com. And then the book website is blessedarethespiraling.com.
Love it. Levi, as always, thanks for your time. I'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
Can't be soon enough, Steve. I missed the green chili.
All right. Well, hopefully you have some ready when you come. Thanks again. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.